Today's episode of Talking Wolves is brought to you by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport venues are showing every single one of Wolves' televised fixtures throughout the 23-24 season. And with over 900 venues, it doesn't matter whether you're in Warrington or Wolverhampton, you can catch every single minute of the action. But guys, keep your eyes out across the season for events, offers, content and competitions to bring you closer to the action. Yes, everybody, welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. Hope you guys are keeping well and safe. We've got the Three Musketeers on this week's pod. Alongside me, we have got Mr. Finn Morris. Finn, how are you keeping?
All good, thank you, mate. Yeah, all good. Dodged a good away day there, I think, that we're going to talk about. Nice to have a new Musketeer on board for the week.
Yeah, he's on a one podcast loan deal from the 77 Club. Returning, actually, he's a returning member. We've got Mr. Harry Mantle. Harry, how you been keeping?
Very good. I also dodged that horrible journey down to Palace. So, yeah, I'm good.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't. So we'll talk about that and much more on today's podcast. Obviously, we've had your questions on social media as well. We'll talk about the Blackpool game, the Palace game. We'll have a quick look at the transfer window before answering those questions as well. But we'll kick off with the Carabao Cup Wolves playing against Blackpool. I think all three of us did go to that game, have been drawn. Against Ipswich Town as well. Oh, another horrific away day, lads. I've been toying with maybe going, but I'm just looking at Tuesday night getting across to Ipswich. No chance. But Finn, we looked at the team. We expected rotation. That's what we saw. But it was still a pretty solid team that Gary O'Neill put out. So we were expecting a win. I don't think we were possibly expecting by how much, but it was a pretty comprehensive victory overall, wasn't it?
No, yeah, I think the last 5 years of Wolves, even though there's been success, you never think we're going to batter anyone. I mean, it was a sort of the Nuno years. One day we're going to batter someone, and it never really came. We've waited all these years, and finally it had to happen against half my family's team, which was a bit of a sad note. But yeah, we looked really good, and I think the players started, even though it wasn't a fully rotated team, the players started that everyone was saying, oh, make sure Fabio's in there and gets a goal, Kalajic, get a few more minutes and get a goal. So It was a really enjoyable game, to be fair. Perfect all round. It's going to be a nice little start to the podcast because I just really enjoyed my evening. A lot of goals, yeah. Nice weather. What was it? I can't even remember. I think I'm pitching.
It wasn't too bad. I can't remember.
I think it was not. Yeah, I think it's because I didn't wear a coat at a night game. I think that was the thing. I'm remembering it really fondly.
I had a customer coming to work the day after who was. He had a Bristolian accent, but he was a Blackpool fan, and he said he went to the game. But he hates the manager. He doesn't like half the players. I was like, oh, right, okay. But I thought they have only just been relegated, hadn't they, Finn?
Yeah.
So I thought there might be favourites to go back up, but he reckons they've got no chance. So I was like, oh, right, okay. Harry, one of the things I noticed is the formation, especially in the early stages, just seemed to be all over the place. It was like back three, back five. I don't know. It did take Wolves a little bit of time to grow into the game. But what did you make of that little experiment that Gary O'Neill was trying out?
Yeah, I think I interacted with you on Twitter, actually, because I was confused because I thought Johnny was like right midfield, but you pointed out it was more of like a 3-4-3 with wing backs and Doherty right centre back. But like you say, mate, all over the shop. But
yeah,
it worked. It worked. We are obviously, it was complete domination. It was interesting to see Johnny play because I genuinely didn't think we'd see him in a Wolf shirt again. But it seems like he wants to fight for his place. But we did our job, didn't we? I think they hit the bar a couple of times. Fabio got his goal. Sasa scored again. We were all on a bit of a high as well, weren't we, after beating Everton? I thought Kilman led by example quite well with Dawson not there. He kind of stood out for me. I don't know if I'm looking at that wrongly. That was just me. Obviously, we'll get onto what he was like against Palace. But yeah, job done. Five goals, which we never see. And I think the highlight was Doherty scoring two goals, as he always seems to do in a Wolves shirt. Score.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think what had happened there, obviously, like I said, it was, I think it was Doc sort of more as a right centre-back. It did take Wolves maybe 10 to 15 minutes to grow into the formation. I think once they sort of got that first goal, any nerves, if there were any, I think the second half was when they swapped Johnny. Johnny sat a little bit deeper. Doc played a little bit higher. And then that's when we almost saw the Doc of old picking up those pockets of spaces and finding the goals as well. Finn, Pablo Sarabia got four assists as well. It was a, you know, he needed to make an impact. And I know it was against a League One side in Blackpool. And again, we'll talk about his performance against Crystal Palace as well. But he sort of did play just in front of Johnny on the right hand side, but you know, played centrally a lot more. Do you think that helped him playing more as a number 10?
Yeah. Although I think I said on the live stream the other night, he was popping up out wide in that second half as well with the ball through to Doc, and it that worked well as well. But any position he was taking up seemed to work. And as you say, 4 assists, I don't think I'd quite appreciated that without it being like a Premier League game and having those FPL notifications through without seeing that Sarabia Sarabia. I appreciated the one cross for Doc, and the rest, yeah, it completely escaped me that he'd assisted them. But even though you could always found his level or whatever and joke about it, it's a game where you might even go, oh, he'll struggle here, because it's normally the physicality, as we'll probably come on to, that he struggles against. It's maybe a home game against who's like a pretty team in the league. Maybe, I don't know, a Tottenham or something. You might see him flourish because he's so technically brilliant. But yeah, against a League One side that, yeah, in and amongst it, he really shone.
Do you think he's far away, Harry, from getting a place in the starting lineup in the league, Doc?
Who's Doc? I think he's got to be close now. I think Semedo's had a few good performances. Obviously, at Man United, he was incredible. Really bad against Brighton. We're going to get onto Palace. I don't think he was too good. But for me, I'd probably give him a go. Or even at least bring him on. I'm surprised he hasn't been brought on in the league yet, just because he's got that threat going forward. I think, you know, he's doing everything right, isn't he? He's not moaning the fact that he's not been starting, and he can't do much more than that, can he? Gets a start in the cup, scores 2 goals.
Yeah, there's been a few calls, and we'll talk about the questions obviously towards the end of the pod. A lot of people calling Finn possibly for a back five as well. Obviously with Bueno possibly coming in as well. But that you were an advocate of that from the end of last season, were you?
Yeah, to be fair, I really wish we did the video to be able to be smart after the event, but that was with a lot of players that we have since sold, that my little idea was, it's still possible. I just think, I will do a little 30 seconds, but I think Aitnor is better as a wing-back. Doc's certainly better as a wing-back. I think Kilman was getting England shouts in a back five. They soon faded away in a four. I think, yeah, you can afford a Lamina Gomez double pivot in there. If you've then got, you can fit in a Sarabia, Cunha, Fabio, something like that up front. So I think there's definitely grounds for five at the back. Maybe not how we saw it against Blackpool. I certainly wouldn't have had Doc in the back three. You want him flying forward. Yeah, very strange. But there's definitely, and it's nice to see that it's sort of in his mind. I'm not saying we'll finish top half in a back five. There's definitely problems within that as well, but it's definitely an option. I'd like to see us try.
To be fair, it's what Bruno Lage had to do. He knew that in some areas, defensively in particular, Wolves weren't strong enough. And I know we have tried to strengthen there this season, but Gary O'Neill obviously would have seen against Palace, we did well, bar in our own sort of defensive final third, and that's what let us down, really, which we'll talk about. So wouldn't be against it. Harry, we saw Nathan Fraser come off the bench. That was, feels weird because he's been in around the first team, seems to be for a little while, but that was actually his first team debut, and obviously to get a debut goal as well, albeit a little deflection, a massive deflection. But it's always nice to see your own homegrown talents get on the score sheet, and hopefully a big future for him.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I haven't watched much of him in the youth team, but I know he does well. And of the three of them come on, didn't they? I know Pond and Griffiths have gone out on loan, haven't they? But because the Shay Adams deal fell through as well, I mean, you've got to assume Fraser's, is he like fourth choice now, probably? Mm-hmm. So big opportunity for him if it ever gets to that point, if the disaster happens with our strikers. But yeah, really good moment for him. Good to see, wasn't it? As you said, big deflection. But I was really happy for him, to be fair. And I bet he was absolutely buzzing, because I would have been if I was him.
Yeah, I mean, you can have youth players, but they can be from all over the country. But Nathan Fraser is a Wolverhampton-born lad, you know, been in the academy. And obviously, it's amazing to see him, get that goal. And Finn, a 15-year-old on the bench as well. I know we're not that old, mate. Well, even Harry, I mean, we're all there. If it was George, you know, different answer. But we're all, you know, all of a youngish age. But to have a 15-year-old on the bench in Emilio Ballard-Matthews, that does make us feel a little bit old. I was disappointed not to see him come on, Finn, especially when we were sort of 4 or 5 nil up at the point.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, chuck him on, don't you? It's one of those sort of, on Football Manager, when you break the record for youngest, that's got to be close to Wolves, hasn't it? He's chuck him on at 15 to break the record. I think it must be thinking, in my sort of Wolves like supporting career, I don't think there's been even a 16-year-old. Has there? Was Morgan 16 at Stoke?
Chem Campbell at Villa as well.
Yeah, Morgan was young.
Oh, God, yeah. I remember they got all the ringers in for that Villa game, didn't they? The Nuno's
Flavio Cristobal.
Yeah. Everyone got a game. But no, yeah, it would have been nice to see him for 5 minutes. I don't know why, because I even asked the guy sat next to me. I don't know why, when we have a youth player coming through, I just automatically assume they're a winger every time. Same with like all young players. I just assumed he was a winger. I don't actually. Is that where he played?
Yeah, he was a winger. But Wolves have just signed him from Watford. But he's in the England setup. He's again, he's pretty highly rated. So interesting,
that's a
really
exclusive
interesting.
And all.
Yeah, it was. Fabrizio stole it. No credit. Okay, no worries. but yeah, that was obviously a big win for Wolves. Nice to see us, you know, just see some goals at Molineux in our favour as well, which we haven't seen in a long time. And like I said, into the next round of the cup against Ipswich, which, it's a long, long trip. So probably, unfortunately, not going to be making that. Let's hope that Sky picked that for a fixture. Go on, Finn.
Sorry, Dave. I've done it once and we lost 4-0. I was mascot for the game. I won a competition when I was younger. I was mascot for Blackpool at home, ironically. God, it's following the same path. Blackpool at home, because obviously my mum's side of the family came down as mascot. We then entered the competition because we were in like the little email thing. And then a couple of weeks later, I was at Ipswich away mascot like a couple of times, twice in a couple of weeks. 4-0. And then we got slapped 4-0. Yeah.
Tricky. Who's that under? Do you know? Can you remember?
The picture I've got is with Andy Keogh. I haven't got a picture
it's
with the manager.
McCarthy, days, isn't it, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, McCarthy, yeah.
Ipswich Wolves 4-0.
It must have been, yeah, it was the kit with the two black thingies down here.
It'd been his first season, probably.
To find it, maybe.
I've got it in a frame somewhere. It's not in here. I don't know. I'm looking around. But
3-0, 2007, do you reckon, Finn?
Oh, was it? Let me check. Was it 3-0? Or maybe I'm thinking it was better than
that. Yeah, it's
got to
be 3-0. It's going to be that one.
Yeah, well, so I don't think I'm going to be making the trip again. It was
Championship.
October 2007.
Yeah, that's the one. 27th of October 2007. 3-0. Alan Lee, Pablo Luango, and Danny Hines.
You look like Keogh's son.
Yeah, oh, mate, I loved him. I think that's why I had the haircut.
Yeah, that does not look...
I was 15 that year, so
I didn't know
the same
ball
age
back
as that
then.
Lad who was on the bench.
the Wolves team that day, Wayne Hennessy, Kevin Foley, Neil Collins, Jody Craddock, Darren Ward, Stephen Ward.
Wow.
Was that back five then? Or
proud day for the Ward family.
Carl Henry, Oliver Jana, Michael Cartley, Jay Boothroyd, and Freddie Eastwood. And we saw Matt Jarvis, Rudy. Mark Little, and Andy Keogh come off the bench.
Those were the days.
We were top six at that point as well. We were fifth in the league.
We got the playoffs that year, didn't we?
Yeah, probably. That was probably the year before we went up, yeah.
It's the Albion one, when Albion knocks out the playoffs. Yeah. Don't want to talk about it.
My word. Those are the days. Next round of the Cup against Ipswich. But now, unfortunately, lads, we do have to talk about yesterday's game against Palace. Now, I do apologise if anyone took my advice last week of trying the burger, because I did try the burger and they were awful, unfortunately, yesterday. They weren't what I remembered, so I don't know if they've got a new heating technique or what. It was red hot, but it was a tough old burger. It's like it'd been cooked about four different times. lovely day in London, Finn, but unfortunately the result wasn't as lovely. Lineup wise, it's pretty much what I predicted. It's what I said on the previews. Is that how you would have lined up Sarabia? I mean, I only went with Sarabia. Obviously, he got the four assists, but I thought Hwang probably still wasn't 100% after his knock last week as well.
Yeah, four assists in a Wolves team should give you a pretty strong case. But I said on the live stream, didn't I, a few days ago, that it just gave me Trincão away at Crystal Palace vibes, where it's just not the game for him, even though he was in that, as you could say, arguably red-hot form. But at the time, I was hesitant. Lack of options. I don't think he could have done much else. You've got maybe Bellegarde that's going to come in and be that sort of position. Hwang, not 100%. So he was sort of forced into it, yeah, but quite hesitant to see that one, and it didn't really work. I wasn't outraged. It was a sort of, yeah, okay, sort of team reaction, you know, when you see it at 2 o'clock. And it just didn't play out how I thought it would. It felt like Lamina, Gomez, Decore, and was it Schluppin? Who was the other? Lerma. It was like having like a little game between each other. Like they couldn't, no one could complete a pass. It's a horrible, horrible game to watch. It did burst into life. At least you saw some goals for that long trip. But, it did not play out the way I thought it would.
Yeah, Harry. I mean, you look at the stats and the game, I suppose. I thought Wolves were sort of in the game, obviously up until the first goal. And it could genuinely have gone either way. We had a lot more possession than them once the final whistle had gone. But at the end of the day, Palace tested Wolves 11 times, I think. That's the most shots any team outside the top six had against an opponent over the weekend. But although we had a lot of the ball, we're just too sloppy at the back, weren't we? The one that sticks in my mind is the Jose Sarr one as well, when he passes it straight to João Gomez. Now, at the time, I was A lot of people shouted at Sarr for that. But I thought, well, surely João Gomes has got to do better. But I've watched the replay back. Sarr, there's a Palace midfielder bearing down on João Gomes before he's even passed the ball. So that was unfortunate. But it's just silly things like that, wasn't it? That just at the end of the day, you're not going to win football matches if you just make stupid mistakes.
Yeah, before that, I thought we was playing well. I was like thinking we were the better team. And then just thinking for Jose Sarr, like, he had an absolute worldly performance at Everton. Pretty much won us the game, arguably. Mm-hmm. But if you put the ball to his feet, all Wolves fans will start clenching, don't they? They just think, oh, no. And as soon as he got the ball, I just knew what was coming. And, yeah, it's totally Sarr's fault. Good from Kilman to get it off the line.
It was a good clearance, to be fair.
Yeah, but obviously after that, he had a terrible game. But we're just... we just do it to ourselves, don't we? Like, as I say, we just in the first half, we played well, but we had nothing in the final third. I think I remember Neto had one shot on his right foot, which the keeper tipped over the bar. Fabio, I was expecting a lot from him, but the number nine shirt didn't give him any miracles. But yeah, really frustrating. I don't know what it is. In the middle, I don't know, Gomez, I thought he was poor, to be honest. I'm a big fan of his, but I thought Lamina was probably one of our better players first half. But yeah, we just... decent first off and not good enough. A lot of the ball, but just couldn't do anything in the final third. And as you say, Jose Sarr had a moment of madness and we were very lucky not to go 1-0 down at that point.
Yeah, Finn, for a team like Wolves, who just historically, and I say historically, over the last 3 or 4 years, have just struggled to score goals, to score 2 goals away from home and still get nothing, it's frustrating. I know Harry said we didn't create anything, which is true. We didn't create a lot. The Juan goal obviously came from a set piece and then Cunha's header came towards the end as well, but that was 2 assists for Neto. He's now level top assister in the Premier League, believe it or not, alongside the likes of Phil Foden and so on. It was just like, and I think I agree with that João Gomes comment as well. Harry, he had 1 or 2 good moments, but I thought he just got caught in possession a few too many times. I think one of the times actually led to a big Palace attack in the second half as well. Finn, I'm saying it's frustrating, but I still can't quite put my finger on what went completely wrong for Wolves, because even Gary O'Neill in his press conference, he said that it wasn't a game that he felt Wolves should have lost, which I think he does have to be careful with, because if he starts making comments like that after a few more losses, people are going to get peed off with him quite quickly. But what was your sort of overall take on the game? Sort of coming out of the match, did you think Wolves should have had more? Do you think a draw would have been a fair result? What did you think?
I don't know that... that sort of Cunha goal makes the scoreline look a lot better, because I think at 3-1, we're probably being a little bit more reactionary. Just thinking about it now, was Wang's goal at Brighton a header as well? Has every single one of our goals been a header?
Yeah. It's a shoulder, wasn't it, this one?
Yeah. So all of our 4 goals have been headers this season.
Yeah, Huang header, Sasha header / shoulder. Yeah, Huang header / shoulder, yeah.
Mad. Yeah. So maybe that's an avenue to go. But yeah, for the overall game... it was weird. There was that sort of 5-minute period, like I referenced. There was a bit where Lamina passed to Doucouré, Doucouré passed to Gomez, Gomez passed to Lerma. It was like the worst football I've ever seen. Yet there was flashes of brilliance. I think Eze's a brilliant player. We were all saying in the chats, weren't we? It's going to take a bit of Eze brilliance. That sort of came with, not necessarily brilliance, but his little flash came with the second goal. It was like, I sort of agree, we didn't deserve to lose, maybe. It was the... poor defensively in 3 moments and you get punished. I know it's the sort of classical in the Premier League, you get punished, but we did. And going forward, although we had a lot of the ball in that first half, you never felt like a goal was coming. As you say, we scored from a set piece and obviously we're brilliant in the air this season all of a sudden. But it's more worrying than the scoreline suggests, because in a way we didn't do too much wrong, but the things we did do wrong were pretty, pretty important. Like basics of defending and going forward, there's no... intricate 2-1-2. There's no take on. There's no not so. It was a strange game to come out with 5 goals. Really, it really, really weird one. It's hard to analyse.
Yeah, I think a lot of people before the game were saying, "Bloody hell, how come Palace Wolves is on Sky Sports?" And I think even if you didn't watch the game, you think flipping it 5 goals, but it wasn't exactly not something you call a 5-goal thriller as such, because it didn't have that sort of emotion to the game. But Harry, we'll start to touch on the goals now. You mentioned Kilman there, and I think a lot of people disappointed with his performance. Obviously, he made a great clearance for that chance in the first half, but the first goal is, I think, all three are just so avoidable. But that first goal in particular, probably a little bit too easy for him to get the crossing down the left-hand side, Harry. But then Edouard, it's just he scored as if there's no defenders there. He just got to the front post, and it's nice and easy.
Yeah, he got across Kilman way too easily. But before that, I mean, a lot of people are pointing out Sarabia as well. I thought, to just while I'm on Sarabia, though, he was horrendous. I've made my mind up. I'm not a fan of him. He can't start. You mentioned he's good in the cup, but for me, no pace. Obviously, he's technically gifted, but he ain't got it. But anyway, on the defence, yeah, Kilman got across his man. And for the other goals as well, the third goal reminded me of Brighton away when we got absolutely smashed, where people just stood there and just walked up, like, straight through the middle, yeah, and just easy finish. And the second one, really, ball over the top. Kilman easily beat in the air and then a decent finish. But we crumbled a bit like we did against Brighton at home this year, where there was just like a 10-minute spell, easy for them, and we kind of just give up. And as you say, the scoreline doesn't really tell the full story, but really, really poor from Kilman, really. He's got to be much better, and he's had a few games like that now. And I agree with people saying he shouldn't be captain. I really do. He's not that type of personality for me. It should be Dawson. And yeah. He's got to improve. He's got to improve, especially with the new Bueno lad coming in at centre-half. He's really got to improve. His place might be up for grabs.
Yeah. The one thing that I mentioned on my review, Finn, and a lot of people mentioned it on the Fans React that we'd uploaded as well, at 1-1, that substitution by Gary O'Neill. Obviously, we know Fabio didn't have his best game in a Wolves shirt, probably one of his poorer performances since the start of the season. But really, if you're bringing Fabio off, you want to still make an attacking change. You want to probably bring Sasha on at that point if you're going to be sort of playing a little bit more direct. But it brings Fabio off for Boubacar Traore, so basically losing an attacking player. For me, that just shows that he was happy with a draw, probably, just almost to help see out the game. But João Gomes, who, like you said earlier, Harry, wasn't having a great game, who's already on a booking as well, Finn. Surely he would have been the one on, and for at least another 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, whilst you got the momentum, keep Fabio on.
Yeah, I think, was it you said on the review as well, that Boubacar Traore substitutions at Crystal Palace just seemed to flip the game either way? It was that
sub of him Steve Davis last year.
So it's happened both ways around. Another point on the Kilman thing, talking about João Gomes on a booking, do you think he's like, each one of the Wolves bookings in that game, I know it's not why we lost the game, as you said in the review as well, but each one of those bookings was so soft, and I didn't see our captain.
Getting the refs here.
He's allowed to, you know what I mean? It's like we're getting these, it's probably not affecting it too much, but Cody would have been back straight in it, ref.
Neves
come on,
was
Neves, yeah, even more. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's looking into it a little bit too deeply, but very, very cheap bookings, and it did affect Gomes, I think, in the game. But yeah, I think that was the easy sub to go with there. Fabio was, yeah, really wasn't his best game. He was really poor, but you still need to keep a sort of presence, some sort of ambition up there. And yeah, we sort of surrendered, and then two goals come flying in shortly after that.
The one thing I picked out, and I said it on the preview to D, who was the Palace fan. I can't remember if I said it on our channel or his channel, but I said he picked out Joel Ward as their weak link, who, you know, we tested him a little bit yesterday, but probably again, when you're playing Joel Ward, when you played James Milner and played Ashley Young, and we've not tested him anywhere near at all. Obviously that's a frustrating thing. But one thing I said to him is, well, I'll be intrigued to see the two games where Fabio's had big chances against Brighton and against Everton. He's created those by running in the channel between their right back and their right centre back. And I thought with Joel Ward there, I thought this could be interesting to see. And he didn't do it anywhere near enough. I think it was Anderson who was there, right centre back, you know, covered that really well. The one thing that I like about him as well, from a Palace point of view, is the way he bursts into the box as well, like late runner. I think he scored against Brentford, was it, a week or two ago, doing that, and they did it against us yesterday. But that was the one thing frustrating me with Fabio, and we saw obviously Sasha come on in the end, Harry, and straight away we just looked like, we wanted to get the ball in the box, obviously, which you would do with someone that's 6'7", sorry. But we just looked a little bit more dangerous. And obviously, Cunha got his goal by putting the ball into the box as well. But that's the one thing. And that's why I think Palace beat us yesterday. They weren't scared at playing that final ball, whether they think it's risky or not. They weren't scared at times to go a little bit more direct. You know, sometimes Wolves half cleared the ball and Palace was straight back into the box. Whereas Wolves, if they got into a dangerous area, it just always seemed to find its way back to the fullbacks or the centre backs. So, do you think what's your stance on Sasha? Do you think he should be starting the next game? Or do you think Fabio still needs that little bit more time?
I would start him if he's fit, because obviously they're trying to get him back into it slowly. I definitely would. It's such a difference when he comes on. And as you, the Cunha's goal, Neto just got the ball in the box. Like, I thought Neto was one of our better players on the day. But still, like as you mentioned, Ward was on a booking. So why didn't he go at him a bit more? He still frustrated me a bit, Neto, but two good assists. Sasha, yeah, really good. I'd have him in there. Fabio was also very safe for me. Every time he received the ball, he just wanted to keep it. He wouldn't turn and run at him. He wouldn't turn and shoot. And yeah, and then Sasha as well. He just seems hungry. He seems like he wants to prove himself. And if he is fit, I think it is time for him to start. I know Fabio's young. I know we don't want to criticise him too much. He's had plenty of chances now. And I've really expected a lot more from him. And yeah, the substitute when Babacar Traore came on, that Sasha should have come on then, shouldn't he, really?
For sure.
I think if we'd have drew 1-1 and that substitute was the difference and we saw out the game or even nicked it 2-1, everyone would go, what a sub by Gary O'Neill. He identified we were being overrun. But because it went like it did, everyone's now saying that substitution cost us the game, which I think it did, but it's one of those, isn't it? It's one of those. That's what it gets paid for, the substitutions.
Yeah, there were so many moments, like if but to maybe moments in that game. I think, if that sub didn't happen, what would the score have been? I think the refereeing performance as well was one that I'd mentioned on the review, because over the last couple of weeks, I'd praised, even against Brighton, I know we'd lost the game, but the referee was so consistent throughout it. And obviously that's how we saw Nunes get the red card in the end, because he was just, from minute one, Brighton kicked the ball away, that's a booking. Nunes did the same thing, that's a booking. Whereas yesterday, I felt it was the opposite, where there were once or twice where Palace were doing sort of quite cynical fouls and it was just a strict talking to. Whereas obviously Ait Nouri had the one when he sort of squared at Jordan Ayew. Semedo was really unlucky, I thought, at right Semedo, back as well. And there was a you're just getting the bookings out straight away. And then at the end there, Sam Johnston, even at 2-1, was holding on to the ball for 20 plus seconds in his hand. Mm. So the rule's eight seconds, am I wrong? Or, and so there were towards the end, in the away end, everyone was counting out loud because it was just absolutely ridiculous, like how long he was taking. But you never see those ones when the keeper's got the ball in their hands, never get pulled up on that, do they? So, yeah, it's just frustrating. Again, that's not the reason why Wolves lost the game ultimately. But we've got the international break now. I'm just happy, Finn. Well, I say happy. I'm just glad that Wolves have got some points on the board going into the international break, because I think it'd be a long 2 weeks to see us on 1 or 0 points if that was the case.
Yeah, definitely. I think my five at the back tactics, I'd be cooking them up all international break, saying save our season. But no, yeah, it does look good with those three on the board. And as you say, I don't know what the record was like at the start of last season, but I'd imagine more goals or at least a little bit more threat and more routes to goal. So it's not all bad. I'm trying to think of the start of last season. We didn't score a goal for a long time, did we? I can't remember. I tried to forget the early days of that season.
Trying to have a look. It was Bruno Lage.
I think we scored 6 minutes in, didn't we? And then we thought, oh, here we go. What a season this is going to be. And then sort of faded away. So, yeah, I'm not too negative. I mean, I think if it was 3-1, I'd probably be going in a little bit more worried. So it's just the fickle nature of being a football fan. But, yeah, I'm not going in sort of stewing on it, if you know what I mean. I'll watch half the England game again and then get bored, I imagine, and then be ready for, is it Liverpool straight away? So tough games coming up.
So, yeah, we're 4 games in. We were on 2 points and had scored 3
extra
goals.
Point.
No,
an extra
scored
goal.
Two goals we'd scored. Yeah.
Oh, so, flying.
Yeah, so we're not doing... Obviously, we
how many headers?
It was Cadence who wasn't a header, was it? And then
no.
Neves against Newcastle. So it took us up until game week 6 to get our first win, which was at home to Southampton, which was Sasha's. And it could be game week 6. I think Luton is game week 6. You'd hope that we can get...
don't jinx it. Don't say it.
That's massive. That's massive.
Yeah. We'll talk about lads now. The transfer window, it slammed shut on Friday evening. Wolves in the end managing to get 4 late deals over the line. Jean-Marc Nebelegaard coming in just after the deadline. Santiago Bueno, Enzo Gonzalez and Tommy Doyle obviously coming in after the early signings of Matt Doherty and Tom King. Harry, what were your thoughts on the late action in the window? You're happy in the end, or at least satisfied? I don't mean you can ever be 100% happy, but you're satisfied with those late signings?
Yeah, I was quite surprised, actually. I think, obviously, the Nunes deal had a lot to do with it, but I didn't expect us to get 4 in. I didn't see it coming, so you've got to be happy with that. I mean, overall in the window, I think we got rid of too many, but we all know why, the FFP stuff and a lot of players out of contract and things like that. But yeah, and the players, I'll be honest, I only really knew Tommy Doyle out of them. You know, I'm not going to lie and say I know who the others were, but I hope they're good. I mean, the young one who everyone says you look like, Dave, he looks very young. Like, when I watched the behind the scenes video, yeah, I was like, he is not 18. He looks about 12, but I hope he's good. And yeah, I think the only thing we missed out on really was a striker, wasn't it? Really, Che Adams would have been nice, I guess. But I'm not over the moon. I'm not dancing off the ceiling with it because I don't know the players, as I mentioned, but at least they got players in, which was desperately needed. So you've got to be quite happy with it.
We've just had literally some breaking news as we record as well. Daniel Pedence, he's going back to Olympiacos.
Finn. Wow.
Really?
I did not expect that one. Yeah. Just
is that window still open? That.
Must be. Yeah. Just had someone had sent me something off a Greek journalist, and Fabrizio Romano's just done the old here we go on it.
Was it last week on the podcast I was talking about my Olympiacos friend in Greece that hated Wolves? I'll text him now, so you're welcome.
Wait, what do you reckon about that? That's a surprise for him to go back to Greece, Finn.
Yeah, so is it... here we go, there we go. I knew the Turkish window was still open because Spurs have shipped a few out today. And obviously the Saudi one, which has been heavily talked about. But, wow, there we go. Yeah, he's gone. I mean... It doesn't really matter as long as Wolves get a couple of mil from now. It doesn't really
matter
where
he goes. September the 11th there, so it's another week, I think.
Well, he's gone. Pedence has also signed a contract and will be registered for Europa League games. So, yeah, I suppose that they've got to get it in for that, which is starting very soon.
Is there a fee, they say? Is this how much? No?
Fee's not been said yet, I don't think.
No, yeah.
There's... No, but all the clip... Yeah, so the Europa League registration has to be done by 10 or 11 p.m. So they've got to be, quick. They've got to be quick. Yeah.
Why would you even do? Why would you?
Well, you've had about 3 months to do it, you know.
Oh, have you not seen? I'm seeing here on loan with an option to buy.
Who's put that?
Turkish guy and then a Nottingham Forest fan, because I was then thinking, oh god, what if they loan him to Forest and then it gets around FFP because their owner's Olympiacos, isn't it? But Lianos Kostas has said loan with an option to buy.
He won't be welcome at Forest, would he?
Loan with an option.
Hasn't he got a year left?
Yeah, so maybe he'd sign a contract extension. It might be an option. You would assume it'd be a permanent, but who knows? We'll have a look at that throughout the podcast and see if there's anything else.
Because if he's alone with an option to buy, they go, right, we'll not take the option at the end of the year, and then he's got no contract. And then
Talk Sport has said he'll sign a new contract with Wolves before joining them on loan.
Oh my god. That's drama.
More coincidences to come in future, everybody. Coincidence.
Oh, I thought he was gonna like get another chance under Gary O'Neill, but obviously proves how much I know. I know
Dave,
he's obviously done under Lopetegui.
You should have tweeted that first, Dave, before just put Pedence has signed a new contract and just nothing else.
Yeah. Well, that's a shock. Good timing, really, as we were doing the podcast. Yeah. Finn, obviously, we did the live stream, but Harry sort of spoke about those incomings there. What do you reckon?
Was that to me?
Yeah, that was to you. Sorry.
I was looking at Pedence. Sorry, yeah. My new favourite is Bellegarde, as I learned today. He was born on the same day as me. 2 years later, but we've got the same birthday. So, and I liked his little Dave season highlights as well, as we discussed on the stream.
Oh, it's
so,
Santander. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. He's my new favourite. Gonzalez, I don't think either of you get served for a Red Bull, as we were saying. yeah, very, very young. He seems very keen to get involved early, but it's one for the future, I think. It does raise the question I was thinking, because obviously Santi Bueno, I think, we needed a centre-back regardless, but the sort of talk was, we signed these players with the Nunes money. So would we have not signed a centre-back if we'd have kept Nunes and been left with three? That would have been quite worrying. But yeah, all necessary players and a little Football Manager signing in Gonzalez. So quite happy with those. I do think when I gave it a 7 out of 10 window on the live stream, I don't know whether I was maybe thinking a little bit short-termist in that we have lost a lot of big players, lost a very prestigious manager through that transfer window activity as well. So maybe 7 was a little bit generous, to say the least. But good signings on the last day.
Well, it's never a straightforward day being a Wolves fan either. Bulay Dia was one, who's Salernitana striker playing in Italy. Scored 16, 17 goals last season, so a good striker. Now, it's said that Wolves on Thursday evening had a loan bid with an option or obligation to buy rejected. because the Italian club didn't think they would get a replacement in time. And then they did a press conference. So it was, I think, Morgan DeSantis, a former goalkeeper, is now their technical director or director of football. And this is what he said in his press conference on the matter.
Nothing against his fans, but to the manager of Wolverhampton, I say, disrespectful behavior, disrespectful offer, me, my president, and all Salernitana's club, don't forget. I repeat, nothing against an important, historic Premier League club, nothing against his fans.
Finn, what was he saying about Gary O'Neill there? What's he done? I'd assume he means Jeff Shee or Matt Hobbs or whatever. But what an outburst that is. Like that, just a normal day of Wolves social media. That's all we asked for.
It is. I see where he's coming from. And I saw all the memes, like there's the Simpsons one in there. It's like, I've only been here a few minutes. And the guy's like, and then the other one was like the 50 cent one as well. But I know, I think we've got to do it more. Because on the face of it, I think if I was a fan of Salernitano, however you say it, I think I'd have been annoyed with you like your top striker, who, as we said, won a Player of the Month award in Serie A last season through our FIFA knowledge. That you would, if he's one of your main players, and it's almost like the Tottenham offer for Adama Traore with the loan with the option and Barcelona, you go, oh, come on, it's like, who do you think you are? But there's been a lot of deals. Like you look at Amrabat to Man United, a loan with an option. That, like, if you're a Premier League club, you can sort of flex your muscles. We get sort of stamped on, like we've seen with Nunes and Man City. We get stamped on enough. Maybe we need to start doing it to other teams. But if this is how we get it, we get exposed in Italian press conferences. Maybe it isn't the way forward. But I think there's definitely, you've got to chuck it in. Last day, unsettling players, we've had it done to us. Why not try it? And it seemed to have worked, but not enough to get it over the line. But yeah, I don't mind it too much.
Interesting that obviously they were looking at a striker. Harry, obviously Nunes had moved on too. We knew it was sort of coming about a week today. I think the news first broke, or just over a week ago. Obviously, the way he dealt with it was disappointing. It was just over a week because obviously he'd missed training on the Sunday and Monday. The way he dealt with it was disappointing. He did put a statement out over the weekend as well, making out that Wolves fans didn't know the actual truth. But what were your thoughts on the whole situation regarding Nunes as well?
It was just very disappointing, wasn't it? And in a way, as soon as the interest come in, it was better he did go, because he wouldn't have been happier as soon as he knew about their interest. Not training is just ridiculous. Like, he's so unprofessional. And for me, I was a bit annoyed because I thought we were going to lose him and not bring anyone in when it first come about. But he hasn't been incredible, has he, really? Obviously, you can see he's a great player, but for me, I'm not that arsed about it. And he never seemed like he really wanted to be with Wolves, if I'm being honest, watching him. And yeah, I'm good riddance, to be honest. I want players that want to play for us, to be honest. And he just didn't seem like that type. I thought he was going to go to Liverpool. So there's always that rumour. And the fact he's ended up there is no surprise. Obviously, everyone knows the famous quotes from Pep. And, well, I say good luck to him, but bad luck to him, to be honest. So yeah, very bad from him. Very bad.
I was in a mischievous mood on Saturday because he put his statement out on Instagram. And I just replied, didn't ask G. Got about 150 likes on it. So, very quickly before we move on as well, one of our viewers has done this, I say ridiculous and amazingly. So I do apologise if you're not watching on YouTube, but I'll try and explain it the best I can. There, lads, is the link of 90 different players Wolves are linked with overall across the summer. I mean, I'd be here all day reading all their names out. Wow. You can see from the start of the summer, which was like Nacho Fernandez, Fabio Carvalho from Liverpool, Ansu Fati, all the way down to those late deals, including Habib Diarra, Adam Wharton. So if you are watching on YouTube, feel free to stop and pause. 90 different players linked overall. Wow. And players out as well. There were 23 players left Wolves this summer. 38 players overall were linked with moves away. And you can see some of the teams that were linked. Fabio Silva, I think, was linked with 9 different teams across the summer window. And yeah, so big thanks to the subscriber that had sent that in to us. So it's absolutely crazy, some of those numbers there. Lads, we'll move on to the questions now. We've got a few questions sent in from people on Twitter. We'll start off with Amar's Music Show. He says, how many of you are Gary O'Neill out already? For what it's worth, I was O'Neill out as soon as he signed. Is that fair? I admit it's not, but he's proven to be completely out of his depth. I think that's very unfair. I think the fact that you've sort of written him off before he's even coached a training session. Finn, I'd say or assume all three of us are not Gary O'Neill out, but sort of what's your thoughts on that? And what do you think it would take before a lot of the fan base are going to turn on him?
Yeah, by no means am I out, but it has fluctuated a lot in the sort of approval rating, I'd say, because I think on those first few days, everyone was when it's Lopetegui's going to leave and Gary O'Neill in, you then see the Bournemouth fans' opinions, and that's Bournemouth, a team that should be fine staying, and even they weren't happy. You see the stats of lowest shots, lowest possession, lowest whatever. And then you see that Man United game, that approval rating, if it's on a graph, it's firing straight back up, we're going to win the league. And then we've sort of been brought back down to reality. But yeah, by no means is it Gary O'Neill out, the situation he's in. I think at the start of the season, you'd have said, God, I'd have taken 3 points out of those first four games with the shambles that it seemed to be. So yeah, not out. I haven't been overly impressed since that famous Man United game. And I don't know how long we're going to use that as a sort of excuse. But no, yeah, by no means am I out. But last few games. And I think, as you say, what is it going to take? It's only one time now, but if there's a press conference like that where we get slapped, say, I know we weren't slapped, but say we did, and then it's, oh, well, I thought we were the better team. I think people got sick of that with Nuno and Bruno. So I think a few of those and you'll start to see people turn. But yeah, by no means, I'm nowhere near yet.
I think, Harry, obviously we've got the international break now. I think there's another one in just over a month's time.
Yeah.
So in between now and the next international break, I believe it's Liverpool at home, Luton away. And then I think it's City and Villa both at home. So they're not easy games. Out of that, you'd hope. Let's say you're right off the Liverpool City games. We tend to have all okay joy sometimes against the Villa. But if you can get a win against Luton and a point at Villa, I think you go into the next international break with 7 points.
Hmm.
But then you've taken out Brighton, you've taken out United, you've taken out City, you've taken out Liverpool. So I think I think there'll be teams in worse positions than Wolves still.
Yeah, like, I think we're just below par at the moment. I'd have took 4 points out of these first games we've had in the Premier League. Sure. So, and when I was just very doom and gloom about the Gary O'Neill appointment because I really wanted Lopetegui to stay. But when I thought about it, how much he was whinging and that, I thought, right, let's just get behind him. And all his interviews and that I've really liked. Obviously, he speaks well. He can be a bit boring and use a lot of cliches. But I just, apart from probably that substitution against Palace, a lot of his selections I've agreed with and things like that. Yeah. So, I just want to get behind him, give him a chance. It's way too early to be calling him out with all of he's had to deal with all the behind-the-scenes stuff. I think he's doing a pretty good job. And like you said, get a win at Luton, try and get something from Villa. And we're on course. I think the objective is still just survive. I think we will. I think there's a lot more worse teams than Wolves in the league. And just give him a go. I know it's the cheap option. I know people think he's a yes man and all that, which I tend to agree with to a certain extent. But I'm pleasantly surprised with him. I was very underwhelmed, but just from watching the behind-the-scenes clips and how he's been in interviews and that, yeah, I think to get behind him, it's way too early to be talking about getting rid of him.
The interview started quite... Because I remember not liking that first one in that... I remember when De Zerbi took over at Brighton, and this is like mid-season, and they're going, oh, well, you're left in this situation, you've got no prep time, and he went... No, thank you so much to Graham Potter for letting me work with this group of players. And I thought, wow. Mm. And then Gary O'Neill's there. Well, it's not ideal. You just want a little bit of that sort of, oh, no, yeah, I'm really excited. And I thought that wasn't there. But since then, EDA sort of brought me around. But yeah, we'll see.
Four goals in the first four games of the season, though, in the league. Obviously, five goals in that cup game. So I'm hoping things on that side of things are improving. It's obviously up to Gary O'Neill to tighten things up at the back. And one of those ways, Finn, could potentially be to advocate a back three or five. And that's from Bubba Hound, at Bubba Hound on Twitter. Would you advocate a back three/five to stop the current defensive frailty?
I think it would. However, I remember how blunt we sometimes looked under Nuno with that five. I think it... Yeah, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but if you go Totti, Dawson, Kilman, or maybe you took Bueno in there anywhere... Aitnori, Doc, Gomez, Lamina, and they haven't got that necessary. They don't have to be creative if you've got those two wing-backs flying and then you've got those three positions. I think Fabio, Cunha, and then maybe Sarabia in there, maybe Huang Yidro. There's options there, and I think it does fit. It's not like we're sort of shoehorning any players in. There's players that fit like a glove. I think when I was going to do the video, it was mainly the Nunes thing in that he played so well in a 3-4-3. But now he's gone, so I don't know how it would fully work. But yeah, as I said before, I'd love to see it, and I think it's definitely an option. But then I think you're going to go, right, we've kept a clean sheet here, but we didn't look like scoring at all, which was often the case. So we'll see.
Yeah, that was it. Bruno Lage, that happened a lot, obviously. That's why, to be fair, he did quite well at that up until the sort of last quarter, I would say, of his first season. I think Bellegarde would work well in that sort of setup thing as well, as like a third central midfielder or as a number 10. Harry, what's your stance on that? Because after Nuno, things went quite stale, especially with Bruno Lage, because he kept that back five. And then we were sort of all quite excited, but we've just never seen Wolves solid defensively, have we? Especially over the last couple of years or so.
Nah, as you say, under Nuno, that was our bread and butter, wasn't it? Being solid at the back and countering. But if we keep shipping goals like we have done in certain games, obviously Brighton and Palace, I think he has got to look to change it, because Dawson's, you know, he had the quickest. Kilman is having some poor performances every now and then. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind him testing it out, as long as we keep the attacking going and keep being aggressive and high press and try and be on the front foot and create as many chances as we have been, because, you know, our finishing isn't great, but we're creating a lot of chances, which is always good. But we have got to be very careful that we don't keep leaking goals, because it could be very costly.
Finn, West Ham obviously have started off well this season. Are they playing a back five? Or am I making that up? I'm sure someone was.
Well, which West team? Ham, sorry, you cut out there. West Ham? I don't think so, are they?
Why do I think they were? I don't know who is these days playing a back three in the league.
Chelsea maybe aren't they? That's worked not very good, well against.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought West Ham were.
And Luton.
Okay, maybe.
And Sheffield United.
Okay, maybe. King Wolf 84 as well. Has the international break come at the right time to allow Gary O'Neill to spend 2 weeks on the training ground with the players, Harry? I think it has. And I've said I was on BBC WM earlier, and I wrote it on a BBC article as well. I think this could be really important and possibly even crucial for his long-term Wolves career this next 2 weeks, because this is the first chance really he's got to actually sit down or actually work closely with the players for a prolonged period without any distractions, really.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's why I think it's so harsh to be calling for his head, because he had like no time to imply what he wanted us to do when he came in before the United game. So, yeah, and he looks a really good coach as well, doesn't he? When you see the clips, you can tell he knows what he's doing. He's definitely a head coach, isn't he? Not really much of a manager. And let's just hope he can get across what he wants. Obviously, he hasn't got too much experience as a Premier League manager, sort of the Bournemouth job, which he did a good job at. And I know you mentioned the statistics not being very good, but let's hope we can get some kind of identity under him and he can get us out of it. But I do like how aggressive he is and how brave he is of just getting us attacking. But as we mentioned, he's got to be careful that we're not too open.
Yeah. The Wolves announced today as well, Finn, Ian Birchnell has joined the staff as a first team coach. He's managed, I think he got managed Notts County to two playoff finishes. He was assistant manager at Anderlecht most recently. The squad that are staying at Compton, there are a few going out on internationals. I think Santi Buenos with the Uruguay squad, obviously a few of the lads with Portugal. But you have got Bellegarde, Enzo, Tommy Doyle should all be there. Do you agree with Harry? Do you think this could be a really important time for him?
Yeah, although did I not see that Enzo was called up to Paraguay? Or was there rumours of and he hasn't been?
Yeah, he's not going now, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that'll be lovely for him. It'll be his first sort of solid amount of time without a game going on that to sort of get his ideas across. It's basically been Lopetegui's system, isn't it, largely, that he's been working with. So I'm not sure we'll see drastic changes with it with an extra week or so on the training pitch. But, yeah, I think it's only a positive sort of regroup now. And you've got that first win under your belt, so it's not too nervous for these 2 weeks. You know what I mean? There's still going to be a bit of confidence there. So, yeah, probably a good thing having it now.
Yeah, and King Wolf as well also mentioned on his question, don't forget Wednesday night, the Wolves women are at home at obviously Telford United, which is New Book's head. They're playing Stourbridge women. They'd love as many Wolves fans there as possible. I think Manny's doing his samosa. I was just going to say samosa Saturday. It was going to be samosa Wednesday outside the New Book's head as well. I'd be there, unfortunately, but I'm playing football as well. So, Wolves women at home. I'm hoping it should be a good season for them as well. I think they got a point against Burnley this weekend, which is a good team as well. Final question, we've got Mitchie Boy. He said, favourite sport other than football, Harry? I know you're into a few little bits and bobs. What do you like?
Well, it's got to be boxing. I really love boxing. Yeah, probably. I'd say boxing's on par with football for me. I'm obsessed with it. I love it.
Finn?
I don't know. I love playing basketball, but I'm not that fussed about watching it. It's purely just because I can talk better. Right? But, yeah, literally. I've never really got on board with rugby, cricket, golf. No. I can have golf on in the background. It almost like is like a soothing thing, but I'm never invested. It just looks nice. Actually, yeah, there's nothing really.
I'll tell you what, Finn, I went to the, talking about cricket, sorry to butt in, I went to the Ashes and I didn't realise how much of a big deal it was when I was there. And I felt so ungrateful because so many people love, like, it's a big thing at the Ashes and I'm there. Like, I just went down the back. I was just sitting at the bar, I was so bored. I don't get what people like cricket.
The Ashes is long, isn't it? It's not very, like the T20 and stuff, they go for it, didn't they? And that was it. It was faster than I think. But yeah, the Ashes, I can't do cricket. I'm not a big fan.
Nah.
Yeah.
Because that new 100 thing, I thought I'd put that on the other night because Jem had got free tickets, so she'd gone and I was watching what she was watching. And even that, it's like you can put a few neon graphics on the screen, it still doesn't make it fun. Like, it's so boring.
The only advantage of that is like they go for it. Like the Ashes, they play it so safe because it's such a long time.
I've always said with long test matches, like even the highlights are boring. Like that's when you know the sport's bad. they put the highlights packages together and I'm still bored.
And you're going in for lunch. No, it's not a sport if you go for lunch in between. But I'd say the one time I was so invested in cricket, that super over, was it for the World? I don't fully know.
Oh, yeah, when they beat, was it New Zealand?
They should do that every match. Yeah, that was unreal. Super over for the World. Was it the World Cup? I don't know.
I think it was, World Cup.
Yeah, unreal. That was sick. I'm trying, what other sports are there? American football, absolutely not.
No interest.
Jumpers are cool, but it's boring.
Tennis, darts.
Oh, I don't mind
love
tennis.
Darts.
Yeah. Darts.
The Premier League darts is in Wolverhampton after the Forest game. I got tickets for that. It'd be the first time I've ever been. I'm looking forward to that. I do love darts.
Is it Premier League? It's World Champs here in Wolves.
Oh, is it the World? Oh, I don't know. I thought it was the Premier League. You know, they do the.
Might be the Premier League. Yeah. I don't know.
There's still tickets for that. I'll be all over that.
Yeah. Grand Slam. It's a Grand Slam, Harry.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Yeah. It's on Sunday as well. Yeah. But I love the darts. I've never been live, so look forward to that.
Oh, yeah, I might join you.
You'll love that, Harry, because it's just beer. It's just I was going to say, tennis, I think it's Wimbledon mainly. I do get into Wimbledon quite a bit.
Yeah, Wimbledon.
And darts as well when it's on. But I very rarely go on my way outside of football. I don't really go.
What about the Olympics? What would you like when the Olympics is on? Which ones are your faves?
I just have actually BBC One on normally and just see what's on, really.
Yeah. Saw the smirk.
I love the boxing in the Olympics as well, because obviously a lot of the amateurs go on to become amazing. Like, there's that lad, isn't there, from Wolverhampton?
Ben Whittaker, yeah.
Like, he should have won gold, really, got silver, but yeah. Boxing in the Olympics and 100 metres, Usain Bolt, rest in peace. Well, he ain't died, but he's just retired.
I was going to say, I've missed the news here. That's good.
Here we go.
Soccer aid.
Soccer aid, yeah, that's my favourite thing. Soccer aid, absolutely awful. Man. But I think that's all. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else. There'd probably be something.
I like watching golf. I can't play golf because I'm always in the bushes. But I like watching the Masters. That's about it. And that's all.
I'm not into golf either. Really. George loves it, doesn't he, Finn? George talks about golf all the time.
I can see the attraction, but just not for me. I think
it's an expensive hobby as well. I think.
Massively, massively. And I've played once, and I'm left-handed. I played with right-handed club. That's my excuse anyway. Played with right-handed clubs, and obviously I was like that Peter Crouch. I mean, you know, the one of him trying to play.
I bet you've got long clubs, Finn. Jesus. Mate,
well, that's what I mean. I'd need him. So I played with a right-handed short club. I was just battered. I was at Three Hammers on the outskirts of Wolverhampton. And I was just shanking this. I just had to stop because I was damaging their turf.
I haven't played for 6 years because the last time I played, I teed off on the 18th at Ombersley, round by me, and the head of my driver went further than the ball, so I ain't got a driver now. So it was loose and it snapped off and went flying, and my ball just trickled off to the right. I was like, yeah, that's me done.
I'll stick to the adventure golf. That's what I'm better at.
Yeah, all over that. Yeah, yeah. I'm all right at that.
smaller courses. I'm all right with that. That's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Obviously, the next podcast will be after the Liverpool game, anyway. But if you have watched on YouTube, be sure to hit the like button and subscribe. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do leave us a 5-star rating. Finn, if people wish to find you, where can they find you?
Finn is everywhere. FINERRZ. I think I'm going to tweet out if we get the next draw. If it's the next game that I was a mascot at, I'm gonna start tweeting out pictures as evidence because it's getting a little bit creepy.
That is a bit mad.
I think if we get Stoke away after Ipswich. If we get through, then it's starting to look a bit creepy. It's
Illuminati confirmed. Harry, where can people find you and the 77 Club Boys if they wish?
Yeah, it's just Harry_Mansell on Twitter, Harry Mansell on YouTube, and just the Wolves 77 Club on YouTube and all that.
Brilliant. I forgot the underline thing. You always say underline.
What is it called? Underscore. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Underline. I'm at Dave as a party on Twitter and Instagram, and of course we're at Talking Wolves everywhere. Really do appreciate your support, guys. This week it's been fantastic with the obviously the close of the transfer window and so on as well. But do enjoy the international break. We'll try and get as much content as we can out for you, and we'll see you all very, very soon.